Mark chapter 10. Just listen. Verse 46, it says, and they came to Jericho, they meaning Jesus Christ and his disciples. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, I say that again, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped. And he said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he's calling you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and he came to Jesus. And Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. The message I want to share with you tonight, get loud if you have to. Jesus was coming out of Jericho, his disciples and a very large crowd. He was on his way to Jerusalem. It was coming to this real climactic point in his life where he was making his way to where he was going to finally go to the cross and die for you and I. So he's coming out of this city of Jericho with a very large crowd and his disciples. And just on the outskirts, probably right around the entrance of Jericho, there was a man named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, which is really what his name means. And Bartimaeus there laid. He laid right there, right at the gate of Jericho. Probably the best place for him, especially since he was dependent on just whatever anybody could give to him. He was blind and he was a beggar. He could not see where he was going. He had no idea what would be in front of him, what would be behind him, to the left of him or to the right. He was blind, he could not see. He was a beggar, which means he could not fend for himself. There was no really significant purpose in his life. He just begged day by day in the hopes that maybe somebody would give him just enough to make it through the day. And for any beggar and for those of us that are here from New York City, we know what a beggar looks like. A beggar simply just begs just to get through the day, whether it be food or whether it be a fix. But it's just nothing substantial in their hope, their goals, their plans of life. It's not there. There's no purpose. There's no hope. Just begs, blind, and here he is just on the side of the road, not going anywhere, just on the side of the road, day in, day out, time and time again. He sees these people. He hears these people. He sees them only in the sense of what he can hear, only in the hope that maybe somebody will put something in his hand. And even this moment that I look at this blind beggar, I realize there are people today that are blind. They can't see where they're going. And they're begging for some type of help in life. But Jesus, he comes out of the city, a great crowd around him. When scripture tells us it's a great crowd, we're not just talking about just 30, 40, or 50 people that are around him. I imagine hundreds around Jesus as he's coming out of Jericho. Hundreds. Like this, maybe. A crowd like this. And Jesus is somewhere in the center of this crowd. And then as he's coming out of the city of Jericho, scripture tells us that the blind man, this beggar, Bartimaeus, heard that Jesus was about to pass on by. Now, very often, someone who has lost their senses, their other physical senses are heightened. Which means most likely as they're coming out of the gateway of Jericho, he probably just heard the noise. He heard the conversations. He heard the voice of Jesus speaking. And upon hearing, he got excited. You see, it's really important to understand that this man represents another little portion of scripture that says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. So what was happening to a man that was not getting far in life, that was on the roadside, he heard the words of Christ. And if you would grab hold of the words of Christ, the very word is Christ. This scripture is Jesus. This is life right here. And if you would believe in faith, then you can expect that your life will be changed. And I don't care how long you've been sitting along the side of the road, nowhere to go, with no vision, no plan, no purpose. And Jesus is coming on by with a great crowd and his disciples. And Bartimaeus cries out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." It's no begging here. It's a cry. It's a prayer. And then all of a sudden, the multitude that's around him, scripture says that they rebuke him. They rebuke him, which means to really come to a place where they command him to be quiet, almost in a threatening way. Be silent. Shut up. Stop it. Don't say nothing. Your voice is getting on my nerves. You're not worth it. All you do is just sit around and just beg. You have no value. You have no purpose. You can't even keep up with the crowd because you've been sitting in that same spot your whole life. And the crowd is going to tell you everything that is wrong. They want you to be silent. Oftentimes, the great crowd wants you to be silent because that's the way to rebuke you is to mask their own mess. Because let me tell you something. We've all sinned. We have all failed. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. You and I in here, we're all desperate for a Savior. Sometimes there are some that are so ashamed of their mess and they don't know how to handle their guilt, so they'd rather pick on somebody else and call out somebody else's mess. And we're in a time right now where, yeah, there might be some great crowds that seem to have gathered in the name of Jesus, but I want to tell you something. Be aware, because there's a lot of fans out here but not true followers of Jesus Christ. We're coming into a time where there are great crowds that want to gather in the name of Jesus. But what's happened is Jesus has become simply a popular brand, but not truly a life giver in their lives. Because if this was a great crowd that understood the purpose of Jesus Christ, they would have went over and got Bartimaeus that was over there. Because they would have understood that Jesus came to heal the sick, to open blind eyes, to touch the life of the poor, to transform lives that are hurting and broken. So if this was a crowd that truly understood who Jesus was, they would have helped Bartimaeus up right then and there. But there was one person that understood who Jesus was. Bartimaeus understood who Jesus was. That's why he cried out, "Son of David." He knew exactly who Jesus was. My life might look like a mess, but I know who Jesus is. The Son of David, which means this, for those of you that may not fully understand, Bartimaeus knew that Jesus Christ was a fulfillment of the prophecy in Scripture that the Messiah was coming, the Savior, the Son of God, God's only begotten Son. Scripture gives us this truth, tells us that the Prince of Peace is coming, Savior, the one whose kingdom is going to reign forever. The one who's going to lay down his life, go to a cross, this piece of wood, is going to get his hands nailed to this cross and his feet nailed, a crown of thorns on his head, and he was going to die the death that we deserved. And then here's what Jesus does. He comes alive again on the third day, full of glory and full of life and his resurrection power. And the very resurrection power that brings Jesus to life is the very power that he wants to offer you tonight. to make you a new person, to give you hope, to give you life. And Bartimaeus knew it. He knew it. This is the promise fulfilled. And so when they told him to shut up, he got a little louder. And so if you would believe in faith, get loud if you have to. Son of David, as they're trying to rebuke him, as they're trying to tell him to shut up, as they're trying to tell him, just to get out of here. Son of David, have mercy on me. You got to understand something. See, when you believe in faith that Jesus can save you, that faith in Jesus overrides your fears. It's the position of Bartimaeus. He could have jumped up and started running right away, but I believe Bartimaeus was struggling with fears. But that doesn't mean you can't have faith in Jesus. And so what happens is there's a courage that begins to swell inside of him, and it comes out of a desperate place, a place knowing where, man, I'm flawed and I'm a failure and I'm marginalized, and they just look at me like I'm nothing, and they rebuke me. But all I have now is you, Jesus. Oh, you, Son of David, have mercy on me. And there's got to be a desperation in here. There's got to be a desperation if you're ever going to get up from the roadside and move forward in your life. You got to believe tonight. You got to believe in faith. And if you believe in faith, I'm going to tell you what happens. Jesus stops. He stops. He won't pass you by. Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is not moved by the crowd. He's moved by the hearts of men and women that are broken and in need of a Savior. Call him. Call him. Yeah? Yeah, you who just rebuked that young man. You who just told him to shut up, you go call him right now. I mean, if you want to follow me, go get him. And they run over there. Hey, Bartimaeus. Hey, bro. Man, it's a good day for you. Come on, man, get on up. He's calling you. Oh, my goodness. But that's how Jesus works. You know, in a Psalm chapter 23, there's a little portion of scripture that says, he prepareth the table before my enemies. Wow. The very same people that have rebuked you and have told you to shut up. If you would believe in faith and give your life to Jesus Christ, oh man, there will be a table set before you in the presence of God that welcomes you and will change your status in life. Because God calls you when you're not even qualified to be called. He qualifies the unqualified. He calls you and I out of our sin. His very death on the cross is drawing you and I unto him and says, come, receive me, receive my grace, receive my mercy. And so here are these messengers that probably never intended to be messengers. They come to Bartimaeus. Now, I love this part right here. Scripture says that he threw off his cloak, sprang up, and went to Jesus. It's three parts here that you've got to understand. He threw off his cloak. Now, I imagine that this cloak that he wore, Bartimaeus wore a cloak. It's probably oversized, worn down cloak, but probably in better condition than what was underneath. Here's Bartimaeus, who probably didn't shower very much, probably dirty and dingy. And most likely this cloak also too served almost as a bed, as something to just sleep on, as he would sleep there day in, day out. And the Bible says he throws off this cloak. Hallelujah. Because the cloak represents a position of getting nowhere. The cloak represents a life laid down on the side of the road and he's not going anywhere. The cloak represented his lifestyle, covering his shame and his stench. Maybe if I just covered up, maybe they wouldn't smell me. Maybe I wouldn't look as sinful as what they think I am. And I'll just hold out my hand and somebody will help me. But I'm going to tell you something. Throw off the cloak today. Throw off the cloak and leave it down. All it does is represent your mess and the mess you've been living in. Some of us have cloaks in life. Cloaks that we need to lay down. Stuff that has represented our sinful nature. But when Jesus calls us, we can throw off this cloak of shame because he's going to dress us in a whole new way. He's going to give us the robe of righteousness. He's going to give you a robe of grace. A robe of mercy. So I don't need this cloak of sin. I don't need this cloak of guilt. I don't need this cloak of shame. And this cloak represents me getting nowhere in my life. But Jesus has called me. And I'm going to tell you something. I love this. He didn't take the hand of anybody. Scripture doesn't tell us that. I don't need nobody to help me up. You were just telling me to shut up a few minutes ago. And I can't really function in community well unless I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So just get out of my way. I'm going to Jesus Christ. I might look silly, I might look sloppy, I'm stumbling around because I'm still blind and I don't know which way to go. But I'm going to tell you, if you make your move in faith, you don't have to worry about what you see. Just believe that Jesus has called you unto himself. You just go in faith. You just give your life to Jesus Christ in faith. And then he comes to Jesus and Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you? I just want to see what a humble response." And I think we all have that same request. I mean, we want to see, right? We want to see what tomorrow looks like. We want to see what next week is going to look like. We want to see, am I going to finish my education? Am I going to get my degree? We all want to see. We want to see, Lord God, are you going to fix my marriage? Is my husband going to come home? Is my wife going to come home? We want to see, are my children going to serve the Lord? Are they going to know Jesus Christ as Savior? We want to see, is things going to get better on my job? Am I going to get a pay raise? You know, is my boss going to finally leave so I can have some peace of mind? You know, there's a whole lot of things that we want to see. So that we could go a certain way in life. And Bartimaeus says, I want to see. And Jesus says, well, your faith in me. That moment where you had to get loud. The moment where you had to cry out. The moment you threw off the cloak. The moment you sprung up with an urgency to come to me. Can I tell you something? I just don't want to be another person in the crowd. I want to follow Jesus with a sense of urgency. And not a partial walk-through breeze in a relationship with Jesus. I want to serve Jesus wholly. Jesus didn't die on the cross partially. He died wholly for us. His whole body laid down. So Jesus says, your faith has made you well. Then he tells Bartimaeus something. Go your way. Go your way. That's what he told him. And then scripture concludes and says, and then immediately Bartimaeus' sight was restored and he followed him. Isn't that amazing? Jesus said, go your way. Because out of the grace and the mercy of God and his love for you, he desires that you would make a choice today. He desires that you would know him as Savior, that you would be healed, not just physically, but spiritually healed, saved, made a new person. Then he says to Bartimaeus, go your way. Bartimaeus, here's what's interesting. From the moment he answered Jesus' question, what do you want me to do for you? He knew already in faith where he wanted to go. Here's what I'm talking about, and I'm almost done. When he first cried out to Jesus, he said, Son of David, establishing that he knew that this was the Messiah, the Savior. But the second time he gave Jesus a title, he called him Rabbi, meaning teacher, meaning you teach, I will follow. Meaning, not only do I simply believe in faith that you're my Savior, but I call you Rabbi because I desire to follow you if you set me free and open my eyes. That's amazing. You see, that's true salvation. That we would not just be in the crowd just to say, oh man, this is just really cool, but that we would acknowledge him as Savior and believe, and that we would be his disciples. So Jesus really makes a strong point to you and I today. Bartimaeus, go your way. Bartimaeus, oh, I know my way. I'm following you, Jesus. I call you Son of David. I call you Rabbi, teacher. You're my healer. And Bartimaeus didn't want just simply the healing. He wanted to follow the healer. Get loud if you have to. Have mercy, God. Get loud if you have to. Forgive me of my sins. Get loud if you have to. God, deliver me from this cloak that just keeps me bound on the side of the road. Get loud if you have to. Jesus, touch my life. Get loud if you have to. Lord God, they've told me that my life won't get anywhere. That I won't be nothing. Well, tonight, no more will you be dependent on the affirmation of people. No more. Some of you here tonight, you're so dependent on what people will say to you, to affirm you, to praise you. That will not sustain you. All that does is sustain your flesh. And this flesh is just growing old. But you can be a new person in Jesus Christ right now. If you would simply get loud if you have to. If there would be some desperate people. Music ministry, can you come? We're going to pray. And I want to invite some people to come up here and pray. In a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to stand. And what I'm going to ask are for those of you in here that know you haven't been following Jesus wholeheartedly, completely. You haven't made him Savior. And maybe some of you tonight, you've been living with a cloak that you think covers your shame, your guilt, your sin. I want you to throw it off. And I love this church because we don't represent that great crowd necessarily that's in this moment in Scripture. We're a great crowd of witnesses that have come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. So nobody around you is going to tell you to be silent. Nobody around you is going to talk about you or point fingers at you or gossip. Matter of fact, we're going to shout with you, Son of David, have mercy. Have mercy. If this is your cry, then right now you need to get loud if you have to. Throw off the cloak. Some of you may have felt, I have been on the side of the road going nowhere. and I'm tired of going nowhere. Get loud if you have to. Jesus is here. Would you stand with me? Now, I want you to start coming right now. Right now. You just come down. You come down. You commit right now. I want to be a disciple. I want to follow Jesus. I want to pursue him. You come right now. You spring up. You throw the cloak off. You come down right now. You grab your wife's hand. You grab your husband's hand. You grab your friend's hand. There's time. Make time right now. Don't you walk out of these doors and still feel like you're on the side of the road getting nowhere. Throw off the cloak, spring up, come down right now. And if you got to shout when you come down the aisles, then shout. Have mercy on me, God. No one is going to silence you. Have mercy. Let that be your prayer. Have mercy. And even as you come down, you can open up your mouths and begin to pray. Music ministry, they're going to begin to sing, but you can just, it's a simple prayer. Like Bartimaeus, have mercy on me, God. Have mercy. Have mercy. Don't hesitate. Stop pondering this. Because Jesus isn't going nowhere. He's just going to wait. He's not going to pass you by. Have mercy, God. Have mercy. Hallelujah. Church, if we could just begin to pray with our brothers and sisters, just even as we're worshiping, let's just worship. Let's just cry out to the Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just want to encourage you just to open your mouths and just begin to pray. Have mercy, God. Have mercy on me. Have mercy. And he's going to respond. You're going to feel him. You're going to know. You're going to sense his presence, sense his spirit. Open your mouths. Have mercy, God. Have mercy on my life. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Savior. Be my Savior, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for giving me your Son, Jesus Christ, to be my Savior. I thank you for going to the cross and dying for my sins. It should have been me. But you took my place. And I believe I'm a new person because of you, your finished work on the cross. Forgive me of my sins. I'm sorry. Be Savior of my life. I throw off this cloak. Clothe me now, God, with your love, your mercy and grace. Thank you, Jesus. I won't listen to the world anymore. I believe in faith in your word that says I'm healed, that says I'm new, that says I'm saved. I believe and I'm free. I'm free because of your mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.